Hey, it's Molly Webster. I have a surprise for you. Next month, myself and producer Mona Medgaukar are going to do an AMA about our snail sex tape episode. You can ask us anything about snails and the behind the scenes of making an episode work. How long did it take us to make? How did we come up with the sound effects? Why are snails and slugs related? The AMA will be on April 16th, and in order to come, you have to be a member of the lab. So go to radiolab.org/join right now, sign up, use the code word snail to get a discount on your membership. And also, if you sign up now, you get a snail enamel pin. If you're already a member of the lab, come to the AMA. Thank you for listening. Can't wait to see you there, April 16th.
Wait, you're listening.
Okay.
All right.
You're listening to Radiolab.
Radiolab.
Shorts!
From
WNYC.
See?
Yes.
And NPR.
Number 14, The Four Groans. There is a moment in Shakespeare, it is a very, very famous moment, when Shakespeare allows his actors to step right up to the edge of death, almost into death itself. It's from Hamlet.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, so we'll start. So what's going on in the play at the very end?
Well, at the very end, there's a pile of bodies.
This is Ron Rosenbaum. He's the author of a book called The Shakespeare Wars.
Hamlet and Laertes have fought a duel. And the queen has drunk a draft of poison.
A drink! Oh, my dear.
People are dying all over the place.
And Hamlet, too, he's been cut and fatally poisoned. He falls into the arms of his very best friend.
Horatio.
Oh, I die, Horatio.
This is Sir Laurence Olivier.
The potent poison quite o'ercrows my spirit.
And then, finally, he says,
the rest is silence.
And then Hamlet dies.
So that's the end of Hamlet, the rest is silence. Those are his last words.
Which may be Shakespeare's way of just saying so that, you know, when you die, that's what happens next. It's just nothing. It's just silence.
However, 7 years after Shakespeare's death, his collaborators reprinted collected works of Shakespeare. This is called the folio version.
In that version, says Ron,
after the rest is silence, Hamlet is not silent. What is printed beneath the rest of silence is literally capital O, comma, O, comma, O, comma, O.
Four O's.
Four O's.
Yes, we have an appointment with Mark Ryland. We are from National Public Radio. And
we wondered, what are these O's? They're just tacked like big dangling donuts onto one of the most lyrical deaths in the English language. So what are they doing there? Well, most of the actors who perform Hamlet pay no attention to the folio. They don't do the O's, they do the rest of silence, they die, and it's done.
The green room is down to the left there.
But we met a guy who does do the groans.
You are he?
I'm Mark.
I'm Robert Krulwich. Hi, this is Jennifer Murray. Hi.
His name is Mark Rylance.
Should we go up to my dressing room?
Yeah.
We met him backstage at the Longacre Theater in New York City. He was starring in a non-Shakespeare Broadway show, but he took us up to...
Wow, we're in a Broadway dressing room. This is pretty cool.
A teeny dressing room, and it was there that he began to talk about the groans.
So the O-O-O-O was added by very careful editors to the folio in 1623.
Mark said he didn't think that Shakespeare actually wrote those O's. He thinks probably an actor did it.
So when you and your director sat down and you're looking at these four O's on the page, why didn't you think to yourself, shut up?
Because I guess I'd done it 300 times, shutting up, so I was into the change, into the difference.
Particularly when he began to just consider the character of Hamlet himself.
Of all the characters who die in plays, I think we're most intrigued about what Hamlet will make of it.
Because Ryland says, remember, not only is Hamlet, you know, unusually obsessed by death, he went to a school that championed reason over mystery.
He's a student at Wittenberg University. He's part of that whole Protestant movement to the accurate study of nature. He's moving away from superstition, and bam!
What?
He encounters a ghost.
I am thy father's spirit.
A ghost that it not only appears as his father, but sounds like his father.
If thou didst ever thy dear father love.
Oh, God.
This is for the scientists, I imagine, listening to your program, you have to put yourself in that position. It's one of you. It's not a New Age wanderer or some regular visitor to a psychic who has this experience. So his gaze has been, for the whole play, his gaze has been on what is on the other side of our consciousness.
And when, in the end, Hamlet finally steps to the edge of the answer and he utters,
the rest is silence.
Here's the choice that actors and directors, when they do Hamlet, must make. Hamlet's next step is either into silence, where there is nothing, where there's a nothingness forever and ever, or is there a something waiting on the other side, and does he see that something in a vision? Maybe four visions.
Oh, 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 oh.
They could represent a kind of dying area.
Oh.
A long sigh. I see it coming.
Oh.
Oh, my God, it's here.
Oh.
It's about to happen.
Oh.
That's it.
This is an idea you had to inhabit night after night.
I did, yeah.
So what did you think you were doing?
I felt I was encountering another reality than was immediately apparent to those around me. And so I felt with Hamlet that he'd moved and was seeing things, was encountering things, but his ability to put words to what he's witnessing dies before his ability to witness.
The ability to say what he saw, that died, even though he still had mind enough to see. So some nights, Mark would deliver the O's silently.
Just looking four times in four different places, maybe.
Or he might change tempo.
Oh, oh. Oh. Oh.
And some nights he died better deaths.
The best deaths would just be when the audience and I were together, and we were all kind of together, wanting, I suppose, Hamlet to say something. What can you say? What's happening to him? Something is happening, but we don't know what it is. There he's gone. He's gone.
And the rest is silence. Radiolab is funded in part by the Sloan Foundation, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and the National Science Foundation.